it's time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio, and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. Now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave.
And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. And, boy, it's a beautiful week, isn't it?
It is. A little hot and dry. Gotta keep watering my tomato plants. But the peppers like this kind of weather. They really, really like hot.
Oh, yeah, they would, wouldn't they? They would love it.
Oh, yeah. So, garden's looking well. The yard's looking all right still. And, it's just, we're in the midst of it now. We're right there in summertime. Which is good.
Yeah, it is.
As long as it's not humid. I don't mind the heat so much, but when I get one of those muggy days,
I mean, you get the cloud cover in there, and that makes it tough to do some gardening out there, huh?
It does, but it's good for you. Good old hot work, sweating, toiling, makes you a better person.
Yeah, it's better for the electric company.
Yes. So here we are.
Yeah, you know, such weird times between the COVID-19 and all the protests. And it's amazing you find out the things about certain people that you never, ever thought of. For instance, they're taking Woodrow Wilson's name off of a law building there in Princeton.
He was the president of the university there before he became governor of New Jersey and then went on to become president. He was not exactly a very progressive figure when it came to race relations. He had a history of the federal government was starting to segregate, really, under Taft and Roosevelt.
Yes.
He goes in there and separates them. He had a very, very low opinion of people of color, and those kind of historical figures are in jeopardy if they have a statue around or their legacy is somewhat questionable. I don't know. I guess it's up to individual opinion what you think about this. You can't necessarily erase your history. Right. I can certainly understand why people object to Confederate statues. I mean, those guys were treasonous, and they did try to break off from the United States, and they were abdicating a slavery way of life, and I can understand that. But when you get into these figures that are, you know, historical, I mean, President Wilson did lead us through World War I.
His slogan was, he kept us out of war until he got reelected.
Until he got reelected, And so, it's interesting. Yeah,
because,
times.
You know, but here he also banned black students from Princeton when he was the university president and spoke approvingly of the Ku Klux Klan. Yeah, you know what? I thought it when I first heard that there was a serious consideration of removing his name. I said, that's nuts. But then you actually read a little bit of what it's all about and you can't blame them.
No, and there's been efforts in the past, but this George Floyd slaying, that's what it was, assassination, whatever you want to call it, murder, has reopened, and rightfully so, the race relations in this country and the legacy of Jim Crow and segregation and the treatment of black Americans especially. And so, you know, it's open for review right now, and he's just one of those who fit in that category. It's debatable whether other figures going back into the 1800s need to be taken down, but those are decisions that local people have to make, and I guess I'll just respect their decision. That's all I can do.
They're going back to founding fathers, and even Ben Franklin, who organized the first anti-slavery organization in this country, and they wanted to take things down with him. I said, that I don't understand.
much. Well, I don't understand that either. You know, you get to it's from a political science point of view. Historically, you get one. It's like physics. You have one action creates a reaction, and sometimes the reaction goes far beyond the action that you're trying to improve. I think in time that will settle down, but we're in the midst of it, and we're in the midst of this crazy COVID thing, and you just sit back and
enjoy.
You know, it's almost like 1968 to me. I was just very young man, very, very, you know, a boy of two or three, but I remember it. And it's that kind of year, kind of, you know what I mean? It's only half over, not even half over yet.
Yeah. Well, it'll be half over by Wednesday, yes. But still,
tomorrow.
You're right. It's not half over yet. Unbelievable. And then there's the
second. It's going to only get more interesting as we approach November.
Yes. It'll get more interesting with that. And as sports start up, are they going to have to stop again? Businesses in other states are reversing what they were doing and starting to close down or severely restrict. And they're going backwards, which nobody wants to do. But, you know, if you are in an area where everything's spiking, Florida is spiking, and yet that's where all the NBA players are going.
Yes. Yes. That's where they're going, into the bubble of Orlando. I just don't know how this is. You know, we repeat ourselves every week. I don't know this. I don't know that. But you get a whole bunch of people. Some players have tested, you know, positive to COVID in the NBA. And now they're all going to congregate in Orlando. Basketball, probably next to football, is, you know, you're right next to your opponent.
Right.
Breathing, yelling out plays.
Right.
I mean, what could go wrong?
I can't imagine.
And I'm trying to understand the NBA formula here. I guess there's 22 teams, and there's this schedule to get into the playoffs for certain teams. There's 22. They got to get it down to 16, and there's a play-in for those top 16 teams. I don't know how many more games they play in the regular season. I really don't know. I haven't followed that closely.
I think the schedule is a lot, or they know the schedules, whether the schedule was actually released or not.
They've got to get down to 16 teams from 22. So 6 teams are fighting for the last playoff spots, and then the playoffs start after, I think, a 22 game season,
right?
And they're playing a lot of games. I mean, one after another. There, it's and the cut down on travel. They're staying in very nice hotels.
And they're starting July 30th. I mean, isn't that like after free agency used to be?
Yeah. So you know, that kind of. I'm glad you brought that up. But it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that I've given so many good years to you on this show, but. It's been 10 years since the decision.
Yes.
LeBron James on ESPN said he's taking his talents to South.
Yeah, they just did another whole program on that. And I didn't see it. Well, did you see that?
No, I don't. I actually have not watched any sports. I just follow it on the nightly news and in the Beacon Journal. I don't want to be too up to date on things, it sure wouldn't make any sense. So, I mean, how can you make things up if you really know what's happening? Anyway, I'm just kidding. Of course, I'm just kidding. But the headline, "Powerful Decision," was in the Beacon Journal here the other day, and by Marla Rittenour, our guest that we had, it seems like eons ago. But he made 10 years. Can you imagine 10 years?
It just doesn't seem possible.
Goodness gracious, and we had a blistering attack. Remember? We had a,
yes.
We finally had to, when you came back, destroy the disc.
And I had a CD disc of it, which when he came back, we destroyed, and for good cause, because he did finally bring us the championship he had promised.
Yes, he did, and it was scathing. Of course, we weren't the only ones who questioned that decision, and I just can't believe it's been 10 years.
Well, yeah, and it's like we said at the time. It's not that he didn't have the right to go to another team. It's the way he went to another team, especially since, you know, you had the Knicks who walked out of here after their interview with LeBron and his people saying, those people have no idea what they're doing and they're not. He's not going anywhere. You know, so I took that pretty much as a, say, okay, LeBron is staying put. I don't have a problem with that. But it's the way he did it and then went on national television for an hour special. Now, all the money from that went to the Boys and Girls Clubs, you know, and not that that was a bad thing, but it was just how he did it. It was just one of the most unbelievable. Oh, and it's interesting in that documentary how Commissioner of Basketball, was that Stern at the time?
Right.
He fought ESPN tooth and nail trying to get them not. He knew what was happening. He tried to get them to, anything he could do to keep them from putting that on.
Yeah, well, I guess in retrospect, your hindsight's 2020, but I had kind of a gut feeling this wasn't going well for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, if he really wanted to stay, I mean, that decision was rather simple. I mean, okay, I'm staying. So this constant courting by other teams led me to believe that he's on the precipice of leaving, and of course his friendship with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh was well known, and they wanted to get together and win a world championship, which I can't blame LeBron for trying to do.
No.
Now, at the time, though, he left the Cavs in a very bad situation because they could not. They didn't have the time to try to bolster their roster.
Right.
Because he waited until the very last moment and really left the team in a bad situation.
And they had a very veteran team that was very expensive, and so they had no salary cap room on top of that.
That's correct. And once that decision was made, Dan Gilbert made pretty bad, you never do things when you have you're upset, you should count to three or wait a day, and you really attack LeBron's personality and everything like that, which they were able to mend a few years later. But he went down there, he won two world championships, he was in the playoffs for all the time he was down there, and he accomplished what he wanted to do. He accomplished what he wanted to do here. I had no bad feelings when he left Cleveland to go to L.A., I mean, he only has, it's 10 years. I just can't believe it. I looked at say it's been 10 years since David and I crashed this decision. and I said, my goodness.
I do want to see that documentary because they go into detail as to, it was done by an ESPN investigative reporter. They go, they go into all kinds of things about when the decision was actually even made and how far back that was and things like that. So. I'm looking forward to catching that. I'll have to look it up and catch that because now that it's really past history and I'm a little bit more over it than I was at the time. I think that again, it wasn't about what he did; it's about how he did it. And
that's right. And it wasn't about money because he actually could have made more staying with the Cavaliers. They had the home team advantage that way.
But the question is, would the Cavaliers, would they have ever built a team around him that could have gone to championship? That's the heck of a question there. They didn't seem to be moving in that direction.
You did go to the championship. We lost, of course, four in a row to San Antonio.
Right.
But it was on the back of LeBron James. whether or not, who knows what would have happened if he stayed. We could have had a championship, I think, much earlier, but in 2016, just 4 years ago, we got it. And I think people have forgiven him, and as far as being an outstanding member of the community, even though he doesn't live here much anymore, he's done amazing things with the I Promise, the University of Akron. So you just wonder how many more years he's got. I mean, they had some discussions on, I think, the ban on Monday, that questioned whether or not after he's done with L.A., would he try to come back here as a his swan song, in other words, finish his career in Cleveland. And it's all speculation. Jeff Phelps, who does the intermission show and the pre-show, said he doesn't think it's going to happen. Andy Baskin said, I think he is going to come back. Of course, who knows? who knows? He's got his production company out there. He's got a lot of irons in the fire. And but you got to think, what is he now? He's got to be around 35. 30, I think he's 35 or 36.
That old man.
Old as far as basketball is concerned. I mean, but he keeps himself in epic shape. Not just good shape, epically good shape. And I think he'll be an asset until he decides his body can't compete to the standard that he wants it to, but he's made so much money and endorsements. Those endorsements will continue. Look at Michael Jordan. My goodness gracious, he makes tens of millions of dollars a year.
He's still hawking underwear, and he's still making
hawking underwear and other things as well. Yeah. He owns a team. It wouldn't surprise me down the road that LeBron would have the assets in order to purchase a team. How would you like that? Of course, you have Michael Jordan. I think it's Charlotte Hornets that he owns. They really haven't done much under his ownership. LeBron seems to be would be more hands-on than he would be, but this is all speculation, of course. But wouldn't surprise me he ends up in ownership. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Maybe we can get him to buy the Browns.
Well, yeah. that's big money. That's $2 billion money. And LeBron, as good as he is, I don't think is able to accumulate. He would have to have partners and the like Derek Jeter did down in buying the Marlins. Who knows? Who knows? I think his career is extremely bright, and we all wish him well. And of course, the Cavaliers are out of the season. They're done.
Right, they're done.
They're the eight teams that didn't make this 22-team bubble situation in Orlando. I just don't know. I mean, how is a team going to function if, I mean, this COVID thing is really strange, because even though, you know, if you're 20s and 30s and you may be getting it, but you may not have any symptoms, but certainly can spread to older people in the population. And that's the biggest threat. And the young people were really chewed out by Dr. Fauci. He said, you know, you really have a personal responsibility, not to yourself so much, but to people who are around you, because young people think they're invulnerable, but they forget. They absolutely forget that they do come in contact with parents and grandparents. And you see these shots of people in bars just... because the owners are not enforcing wearing masks, and we see the results of this.
Well, part of the problem is, and business owners in general are saying to the states, look, this is demand that people wear their masks. You know, it's not good for the business to say, because they could just go next door to that business where they're not demanding it and lose business to that. So therefore, they're not going to enforce a request. But if you make it an order, then they can help to make it comply. And even Governor DeWine does not enforce a mask-wearing order.
I almost view it like the minimum wage. Everybody has to have the minimum wage, right? And if the government imposes everybody has to wear a mask, that puts the onus off the owners of certain enterprises and say, hey, it's not me. It's not me. You know, let's say it's Acme and Giant Eagle. Acme people have to say, hey, you got to wear a mask. It's not me. It's the government.
Right.
We can't let you in without a mask.
Right.
And then they can't go to Giant Eagle and say, hey, I'm going to, and the Giant Eagle say, you've got to wear a mask. So, you know what I mean? That same concept, I guess, is what I'm trying to state. But the mask doesn't necessarily protect you, but it protects other people. And if everybody, right, of course, wears a mask, then
if everybody wears a mask, then it's not being spread. Absolutely.
But it's like herding cats in this country. You know,
yes.
People, oh, I got these constitutional rights, and if I want to take a chance on catching this thing, by golly, I'm going to do it.
I think that's the 11th Amendment, the constitutional right to be as stupid as you want to be.
Well, that's true.
But,
that's,
you know,
absolutely right.
But I always thought that your rights ended when you impeded on other people's rights.
Certainly, because you can't drink and drive. You can say, I have a right to drink, fine, but you can't get in a car and drive. You can't go down 80 miles an hour through a school zone. The government says you can't do this. Certain restrictions that government has the right to.
Right. And what makes this any different than a seatbelt law?
It doesn't. The seatbelts are there to not only protect you, but the public costs of you getting into a crash and then having to be taken to the hospital or even possibly dying, and all the costs involved to citizens in that enterprise situation, in that particular situation. And they said, you know, wearing a seatbelt saves your lives, and it could save other people inside the car life. So wear a seatbelt. And now it's the law. And you can be stopped and ticketed. So, people say, I got this right, I got this right, I got this right. I saw a video of somebody trying to go into Costco and said, I woke up this morning a free man, and I'm not going to wear a mask. He said, fine, you can't come in here, though. You're not that free. We have a right to keep you out.
Right.
So
just as you know, as laws ease up on something like marijuana, and if it ever becomes free for recreational use in Ohio – your employer can still require that it not be in your system.
Yes, people don't understand that owners have. You don't have constitutional rights.
Yes.
When you clock into work, you
right.
don't. You know, they can fire you for any cause they want, unless you have a union contract, of course, and they have to have at least just cause. But they have a right to manage their business. You know. Certain attire that they can require you to wear. You can't go in there wearing something like shorts and t-shirts in a grocery store. They don't think that's a right protection for their business. So they make you wear a shirt and tie. Acme,
right.
White shirt and tie. After all these years, it's white shirt and tie.
Yep.
And that's the way it's always been. You don't have a constitutional right to go in there and wear a blue shirt. You just don't, because their rights supersede yours in the business.
That's right.
And so once I think the prudent decision, at least for a while, would be to require everybody going to any kind of confined space to wear a mask. Outdoors, apparently, it doesn't. It feeds on people being in a closed environment.
Right. But although when you see a lot of people out on the beach conjugating. And you see people crowded into outside parts of bars. You know, if you've got the close contact, even, you know, so guess what? It doesn't magically go away in the summertime. It isn't a miracle because we're still on our first wave, and it is not lowering. It's raising.
Yeah, and this idea, I don't know who spread it, but the idea, well, you know, in the heat and humidity of the summer, this is not going to have a major effect. Well, guess what? You can't get much hotter than Arizona and Nevada this time of year.
You can't. It's like 100 degrees out there.
Nancy was telling me it was 111 in Nevada. It was stifling hot.
That is just too. My brother just moved to Kentucky from the Dallas area. He's got a new job. He moved into Kentucky. And the one thing that he just could not take anymore, those summers absolutely killed him. He enjoyed the winter weather, you know, which was quite a bit milder. But boy, the summertime just literally killed him.
Well, yeah. I mean, you go to Houston I'd rather be in Vegas where it's 110 and no humidity, where it's 85 right. to 90 and 95% humidity and an 80% dew point. You'll literally go out and get drenched going to get the paper in the morning.
Yes, you could. Yeah.
It's just ungodly there. But and the only the reason the South is developed the way it is because of a man named Mr. Carrier. Mr. Carrier was the invention of the air conditioner.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. Carrier Air Conditioners. It still has his name. I think it was William Carrier, but I'm not sure.
I knew you'd get a bill in there somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, bills are very smart. But we do have some sports that are trying.
We do.
To,
now, no people in spectators stands, but NASCAR was back once again, doing a race that was postponed due to the rain. What, a few days ago or so?
Mm-hmm. Well, NASCAR's kind of stepped up to the plate too. They banned the Confederate flag at their facilities, and they had a little bit of a scare with a. Somebody thought that was a noose in Bubba Wallace. Bubba Wallace is a.
Wait. Did you see it? Did you see a picture of it?
No, I did not.
I saw a picture of and this is what NASCAR released. This is the picture they had that they released. It's a noose.
Oh, really?
Yes.
They said it was some sort of garage,
yeah. They could put your hand in and pull down. No, it was a noose. Yeah, no, it was, and that's that wasn't some kind of press. That was NASCAR that released that picture because if that's what started going around, well, it's just a door pull down thing, and nobody.
Well, I was just going around what the FBI said. It was,
well, they anyway. Said it. Yeah, they said it was not a hate crime.
Well, obviously, since he's the only black NASCAR driver, and gosh. It doesn't take a genius.
And not only that, I mean, a big symbol of NASCAR for years and years and years has been the Confederate flag. Well,
yeah.
He got the NASCAR to ban the Confederate flag. That's why, whether they meant it as anything other than, even if it was just a bad joke, it was a noose, and it was placed on his car.
Well, then... I think the FBI followed up. They should have really done more investigating. Because Bubba Wallace said he was relieved that it wasn't, they didn't deem it a hate crime. But
right.
Now, from what you're saying, maybe he just wanted to move on from this thing and get it over. But he's done great things for the sport by opening it up.
Yes.
And, and of course, there's people down in Tuscaloosa or whatever it is, they have those races that are outside the fence,
right?
Waving their Confederate. You know, I can understand that you think that's your heritage, but you know what? It doesn't make any sense to propagate a treasonous pro-slavery nation that lost a war.
It
just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
You lost a stupid war.
Yeah, if they had won and separated from the country, then it makes sense that that would be a big symbol. I mean, to the point where they are now not just petitioning, they are looking for new designs for the Mississippi flag.
Yeah, I mean, George Floyd's death, it was a tragedy.
It was murder.
But in that tragedy, people are demanding changes. I've never seen anything so hideous in all my life, watching a man's... right before our eyes,
yeah,
being killed in a slow, tortuous way. And it's just tore the scab off a wound that people will never forget. And the reactions, most peacefully, but you had some violence, but most peacefully doing things to trying to change things.
But even you get into arguments and shouting at each other, even down at the villages. I think the average.
Oh my goodness!
I think the average age down there is about 87 or something like that. You know, and
I don't know. Yeah, it's bad. I don't want to get into the president of this country, but he's not much of a unifier. The only unifying people that are and some really very, very bad thoughts about the way this they want this country to be. And I don't know how he's going to succeed in November going that route. But
well, he kind of did that by bullying the person he was running against and by dividing the country. That's kind of how he won the last time.
Well, anecdotally, you know, I had many, many people say, and a little off sports, but anecdotally, I mean, I know Hillary Clinton's going to win. I know she's going to win. I don't like her. I'm just going to vote for Trump because I just don't like her. And a lot of people voted that way.
Yes.
In our crazy electoral college scheme that we have to sway the elections in three states. I mean, if the Green Party was not on the ballot in those three states, he would not be president.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's he only by I think about 40,000 votes going the other way.
In three states.
She won the popular vote by 3 million votes.
Right.
So here we got them. I mean, now people have said this grand experiment of really, you know, getting somebody in there who's going to turn things upside down. Well, he has, but not in a positive way. My humble opinion. So,
well, and it's funny how even now, social media networks, they are finally bucking all the stuff that he does. I mean, I was looking here and there was, another, thing banned his account for Twitch, suspended his account for hateful conduct. You know, he's been and he's not doing anything different than he was 4 years ago.
No, no. But he's a president of the United States, for goodness sakes. He was a candidate back then.
Yes.
Only given a 15% chance on election eve to win, and we had this major, major upset. So whether or not people will say enough is enough is we'll have to wait and see. But we got baseball coming.
We do have baseball. The 55-man roster.
Yes, well, it's going to be up to 60, I think. They're going to be allowed to have 60.
Well, they're going to be allowed to have 60, but if they name a 60-man roster, if somebody gets ill, you can't replace him with somebody that's not on there. So that's why by naming 55 people and leaving 5 spots open, if they have to, they can pull from other people that they have that aren't there.
So spring training 2.0 starts tomorrow. Wednesday the 1st, and they're going to practice primarily at Progressive Field and have a satellite practices at
Lake County. Yeah,
Lake County.
Well, you know, the only sense that makes to me, because it would seem to me that Akron is probably closer to them in downtown than Lake County.
Well, it's right down 77. I don't understand why they didn't use Akron.
Except that there's less people in Lake County and there's less problems with, with probably the COVID there.
Yeah, but they're practicing the main team in Cleveland. Right. There's lots of people around.
A lot of people around, yes. I don't disagree.
And right. They got to go home, and then they're going to be in contact with other people, and I hope it works. I really do. I would love to see baseball. It's taken a long time to reach this point, hasn't it?
It has. It wasn't long after our broadcast was over last week that they did finally move forward and do something about it. And now everything is agreed upon, just as the NBA, everything is agreed upon. And they do not have schedules out yet like the NBA does. But they are working on that right now. They know basically who will be playing who. They just don't know when they will be playing who. You know, that kind of
thing. The last information I got, our schedule for the Indians will be out next Monday. Okay. So maybe, just maybe, we'll have that information when we get on the air next week. We're going to play, from what I understand, again, each team in our division 10 times. So that is what? That's... That's 40 games.
That's 40 games. That leaves you 20 games
to play other Central Division NFL National League teams.
Yeah, the Central Division of the National League, yeah.
So that'd be St. Louis and Milwaukee.
Cincinnati and Pittsburgh.
in Pittsburgh. So 5 games each, I guess, with them. And it's going to completely change the game. It really will. It's a 60-game sprint. They were talking about how the stats will work, that perhaps a guy will win a Cy Young with a 4-2 record. It is conceivable. And then somebody could win the batting title being hitting over 400, you know, 60 games. Some guys can get hot enough. It's hard to do in 162, but maybe somebody who's gotten off to a hot start can end up hitting over 400, which would be a statistics. Ted Williams was the last one to do it eons ago. And I would think that if somebody would accomplish that in a 60-game season, you can't, in all seriousness, count that as being legitimate. Really? Can you? I mean, I know a season, there's some people, hey, it's a season, it's a season, it's a season. But to say a 60-game season, if you hit 400, is the same as Ted Williams hitting it at the time, I think 155 or something like that, 156-game season.
Yeah.
It's not even close. You can't do that. It's just, you can't. And there will have to be some sort of recognition. I don't like the word asterisk, but some sort of recognition of whatever phenomenal stat you would have, like over 400, or something like that, is something that would shatter a record that would compare to the past with a full season, would be something that you would have to take a serious look at. But you know, who knows? Who knows? But if you're a manager, you only got 60 games, and the guy is kind of struggling in the fifth or sixth inning, your starter, and I think I'll give him one more inning to see if he can work himself out of it. Well, that may not happen this time. He may get the middle relief corps going in. And they start out with 30 guys that they can use. After 2 weeks, it goes to 28. And then after another 2 weeks, it goes down to the regular 26. There's an additional player. Every team will have a designated hitter in both the American and National League.
Yes.
And in the event of an extra inning game, the visiting team will start off with somebody at second. So you're going to expect somebody getting on second. And I don't know who's going to get on second unless it's like a pinch runner.
Yeah, that's where you're going to be throwing your fastest guy on there.
Yeah, you're going to have a pinch runner in reserve. I think, who was it that had somebody? I forgot there was a team that had one guy who was just a phenomenal runner. And every time they put him on base, he was a threat. So you're going to have somebody who's a speed demon on second. And guess what's going to happen the next time somebody gets up? I mean, it's going to bust. He's going to try to bump that guy over.
Right.
Some people are really interested in that.
I am not.
I know how you feel.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let the jury be out on this one. I'm going to wait and see how this works. And if it obviously benefits the Indians, I'm going to love it. If it doesn't, I got to get rid of that. I got to get rid of that thing. So it's just going to the way they're going to manage. I don't know how they're going to social distance. You're no high fives, no spitting, and that all has to be worked out.
Yeah.
What happens if somebody comes down with this? What do you do then?
Yeah.
In the event of the playoffs, are you going to let people in at least 20%, 30%? I don't know. Let's hope everything. Let's just hope we have a season. There's a playoffs and nobody gets sick, and we can enjoy baseball. I have my serious doubts that this is going to work, but it's outdoors, and they are probably the least likely to get it than any other sport. I think basketball, on the other hand, is probably the most likely to get it until football starts.
Yeah.
And then football, they're still talking about, well, they did cancel the Hall of Fame game. So which is confusing to an NFL fan who's saying, oh, everything's going to go on as usual. Everything's going on. We're going to have camp start on the 26th. Everybody's coming in. You know, we're not going to have fans. But I don't know. I mean, in college football, there's dozens and dozens of college kids who have contracted this disease.
Yeah.
At Alabama, at Clemson, the University of Texas. I guess it's just for, I mean, there was an editorial in yesterday's paper by the Cincinnati Enquirer saying, don't open any sports. It is absolutely ridiculous to do what you're doing. We have to recognize the crisis in which this country is in, and it's sheer, basically I'm paraphrasing, but sheer folly to have any sports going on until there is a vaccine and or a remedy to, if you get it, you can get over it rather quickly. Let the scientists do their thing before you experiment with people's lives. I thought it was well written. I don't know if you had an opportunity to read that.
I did not catch that one, no.
It's in Monday's paper, yesterday's paper. It's the editorial, and basically say, stop it. Just stop it. To think you're going to subject high school kids who may get it, then go home. I mean, high school kids go home. They don't go to the dorms.
Yeah.
They go home, and they visit their parents who could be in their 30s and 40s, and then, you know, grandma and grandpa come in their 60s and 70s and 80s, and spread it to them. It doesn't make any sense to continue the thought of having, at least if you have college kids, they're usually in dorms, most of them are, who play football. You got Akron University bringing their kids in on July the 6th. You have some teams already.
Yeah, Kent State, anybody who is living in state or in the area, they could start joining and doing workouts.
Yeah, but I guess my thought process is, if what they think is so right, why did they cancel the Hall of Fame game? I mean, at least you could have the Hall of Fame game and maybe postpone the enshrinement. But
you could have done that without people in the stands. It's not a big setting anyway.
About 25,000 people, but yeah. Sold out instantaneously when the tickets go on sale. I mean, it's a rite of passage for a lot of people. And again, in Monday's paper, we had he wrote an article about how this was something they look forward to every single year, and they don't have it this year, so it's kind of sad for him. But it's called Memories in Canton. Golden as Jackets, and by Steve Dorchuk. And, you know, Steve is going to lament the fact that they're not going to play it this year. So it's confusing. You're saying to fans on one hand, okay, full steam ahead, you know, we're planning to have fans, and you're going to cancel the first preseason game, which means, are they going to have no fans in the rest of the preseason game? Are they just going to have camps and no preseason games? They're going to start the season. What happens if you have a few guys on the team? Boy, there's a lot of questions. Well, more questions than there are answers.
Yes.
But of all three sports that are coming, hockey, for God's sakes, is coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
Those guys spit their teeth at each other and throw sticks at each other, and you can tell them the social distance and the fight? Nah. I understand the economic consequences of not playing sports. But what about the ticket taker? What about the people who are in the stadium?
Yeah.
They're frightened to death, some of them.
Yes.
They have to go to work, and even when there's no fans. So baseball, to me, though, has the most, I guess, the right opportunity to make it happen more successfully, because they do play outdoors. It's not a contact sport.
Right.
And they go through so many baseballs anyway during a game, they can easily throw one out after it's been used. I think that'll happen quite readily. I still haven't heard, I don't know about you, whether or not they're going to have the robot umpire. I have not heard
anything definite on that, so maybe that is something that isn't going to happen. That was something that they were still trying to work out before the negotiations broke down again, you know, the last time.
Yeah. I would love the fact that the robot caused a strike, and the umpire says, no, that wasn't a strike. Are they going to argue with the robot?
Yeah.
Are they going to get thrown out of the game?
Or they'll just send you a ticket in the mail.
Yeah.
Like the speeding cams, you know? They'll just send you a ticket for arguing with a computer.
With the robot.
Yeah, with the robot, yep.
The manager charges the mound and talks to the robot, you idiot.
Yep.
So, I don't know if that's in the works as well, but I guess, too, that the announcers will not go to away games. That they'll
have a monitor
and call the games via TV. So Tom Hamilton and his partner there,
Rosenhaus will
call the game based on what they see on TV. Isn't that what your understanding is too?
I know that for football, some of the announcers were saying they will not be going to the games at all, period. Even because they're all national games, a lot of national teams. So yeah, I think for the local games, I think that's what we're gonna be seeing. Yes.
Hmm. Well, it'll be nice to hear Tom Hamilton when we're playing at home, and Rosie and then Matt Underwood and Rick Manning will do the TV, but I guess they'll do it from a remote location when
they're not in Cleveland.
When they're not in Cleveland, so yeah. Cut down on the travel. So they're keeping those guys safe, but not the players.
Yep.
I miss baseball, but, you know, I've kept so busy with other things that here it is, the end of June, not July 1st, tomorrow, and between gardening and playing more golf, and then our softball season, we're trying to maintain 6 feet, and we have all kinds of hand sanitizer available to us,
this is interesting. So this is now how have they set? Yeah, you've listed a few things here, but how have they set up all these safety protocols?
Well, they have a whole list. You can't high five. You can't do anything like that. You're supposed to maintain social distancing. It's up to the manager to enforce that. Anybody who's sick with anything should not show up. I mean, they've got a bunch of older guys, 50 and older, playing with a softball that they're supposed to, after change softballs a lot. What could go wrong? Huh? What could go wrong? So, but I don't know. I mean, on one hand, you're almost scared to death to do anything. Then on the other hand, my goodness gracious, you got to live life to some extent.
Yes.
So you try to balance that. You're trying to balance the potential of getting this thing and take the precautions necessary. I think the way they have it structured, we should be pretty safe. We should be pretty, pretty safe. But if one guy catches it, I think that'll end the whole week very quickly.
Okay.
It could take us all out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
next week I may not be here.
Because let's face it, those, not you, you know, because you're so much younger. But,
barely maybe age group.
A lot
barely.
Of other guys. Well, but you've had some issues too. That even though you're not as old as the other guys, you've had some issues and things that would make you more susceptible to a bad case of the COVID.
Yeah, I guess I've had some issues. You know, I don't have a navel, and that's the number one.
Yes, that is a big issue.
That was done away in a surgery 4 years ago, and that's the number one cause of COVID, not having a navel. Did you know that?
I had heard rumors, but I did not know that to be true.
So guess I'm just doomed. I tried to go to the Naval Bank and get one.
Yeah.
But they're not open now during this.
Well, yeah, of course they wouldn't be, you know, because if they gave you a naval, they'd have to give everybody an extra naval, you know?
Yeah. So I'm thinking about having a ship tattooed where the naval is. And I can say, hey, I got a naval. What do you think?
Well, you could. Well, okay. It might be enough to fool the COVID. Nobody said the COVID is really smart.
Well, they're pretty. I don't know.
Persistent, yes. Smart, no. The COVID just waits for us to get stupid.
Yeah. How about a 3D tattoo, Naval? That would freak people out, wouldn't it?
That would freak me out.
How about an eye down there? That would really.
As long as it don't blink, I'm okay. Hey, our good friend Bill Belichick is back in the news again, the New England Patriots.
Oh, yes. He got fined, didn't he?
They got fined $1.1 million. They lose a draft pick, and film crew will not be allowed to film any NFL games, I believe it is.
That's right, that crew, yeah.
They also banned David Mondello, who was suspended by the Patriots at the time of the NFL investigation, and I think he's been fired. He's been fined from NFL facilities till further notice. Both the league's discipline, Mondello was terminated by the Patriots.
Why would they do that? I can't believe this guy just did it on his own. Say, go. You know, I think I'm going to go videotape the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay, this is the explanation that the Patriots had. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
The Patriots admitted that their production crew inappropriately filmed this field and sideline. The crew was credentialed by the Browns to shoot video for a Patriots web series called "Do Your Job." But the Patriots,
the Patriots,
the Patriots, yes. The crew was the video crew was credentialed by the Browns to shoot a video the Patriots web series called "Do Your Job," but the Patriots did not inform the Bengals or the NFL, which the Patriots called an unintended oversight. The sole purpose of the filming was to provide an illustration of an advanced scout at work on the road. Patriots statement said at the time there was no intention of using footage for any other purpose.
And I believe it.
Yeah, right.
Would Bill Belichick cheat? Of course not.
I think his theory is if you're not cheating, you're not trying hard enough.
His first name is Bill.
And his second name is Belichick.
Well, you know, the Patriots did enhance their chances of getting back into the playoffs by acquiring Cam Newton for a year.
I did see that.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant move. I really do. He will add a new dimension that Belichick has wanted for years, and he couldn't do with Brady there. And some people think it's going to put him right there in contention once again. Any Bill Belichick team, whether you think he's a cheater or not, is always going to be in contention.
Well, see, here's the issue I have with all that. One, especially against teams he's at, whether it was the Browns or the Bengals, I think they were playing Bengals the next week. You know, he doesn't need to cheat to beat them. He doesn't need to cheat to beat the Jets. But yet, he still continually gets caught.
And how do you know it was him? There is such thing as being innocent until proven guilty. Did he assign that production crew to him specifically?
I find him guilty.
Well,
how can you have all that cheating? How can you have all that cheating that's going on all this time? For all these years, every time you turn around, they get caught. And don't tell me that every other team does it. Because Browns management is so inept that they get caught 24/7. Maybe they're afraid because they're too stupid to cheat. I don't know.
Wow. Are you better now? Did you get it off your chest?
I do. I do. I feel much better. Thank you.
Oh, good. My goodness gracious. I guess here's a hypothetical question. Would you rather have a team like the Patriots, who win almost every year a Super Bowl or in the contention to go into the Super Bowl, and maybe slightly skew the rules? Or would you like to have the Browns, who are good Nellies and don't do anything wrong but are pathetic? What's your choice?
That's a totally unfair question.
Well, as a choice, yes, give me an answer.
Of course, you want a winner. But you know what? He doesn't need all that crap to win.
Oh, so you're saying to me you would prefer the Browns?
I said, of course you would want the winner.
So you would condone
the Browns are not winners.
You would condone a team, since they're winning, to do a little things outside the regular norms. That means winning.
That's not what I said. You are taking my words and turning them inside out.
Well, I've done that for our 13th season.
You have, and that's why we've survived this long.
I'm not going to stop now. So what I'm hearing is, okay, Bill Belichick's a cheater, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I like his winning record. And I wish the Browns would do the same. That's what I hear.
Having a winning record does not mean doing it the same way. And the fact is, he doesn't even, especially those teams that half the time he gets caught cheating against. He doesn't need to cheat to beat those teams.
He may not, and maybe he doesn't even know that's happening. You know, he's a busy man.
He is not only the coach, he is also the general manager. And very few people can be successful in both.
But and, you know what? We had the owner of the Browns, the Doofuses, they don't cheat in football, but they cheat in their business.
Yeah, and all they have to do is pay a little fine and then not admit to any guilt.
It wasn't a little fine, but everybody underneath him who was involved in that, he didn't know. My goodness.
Right, they got fired, and didn't some of them go to jail?
Yeah, some of them are sitting in prison.
Saying he knew exactly what was going on.
I have a feeling he did. I do, but he doesn't cheat in football. So you obviously you prefer a guy who cheats in business to a guy who cheats in football.
No.
Well.
Hey, I hear that music playing.
I thought you would hear that.
So. I hear that music. Zoom, 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 zoom. Yep. So.
Are you ready? All right. Here we go. Chronic illegal parkers suffer from parking zone disease.
Oh, that one makes me sick. All right. Hey, that's going to do it. That's going to do it for our show this week.
What a show.
Yeah, and just
don't know anything going on, though.
And just think, in another 3.5 weeks here, we'll have sports to talk about. I mean, real sports, not golf, not NASCAR, but real sports. I didn't say that.
Basketball.
I didn't say that.
Hopefully.
So, we will be back next week for another hour of Sports Sidebar.